First, let's begin. Parshas Matos. Hello there, everyone. Good evening.
Hello.
We're up to Parshas Matos. Let's begin. Matos Vayidaber Moshe El Roshei HaMatos Levnei Yisrael Leimor Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem. Okay, this is a very technical parsha. It's a very technical parsha dealing with Nidodim, the laws of Nidodim. So let's hear here Rashi. Rashi says over here, Chola kovel lanesim lalamdam techilo v'achar kach livnei Yisrael. Rashi over here says something very fascinating, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when it comes to the sugi, the parasha of Nidorim, he gave kovel, he gave honor to the princes. Lalamdam techilo, first to teach them, they got the first lesson, v'achar kach l'chol b'nei Yisrael. How do you know that this is not unique only? This is not unique to the laws of Nidorim. How do you know that every single thing that Moshe Rabbeinu, everything that he taught Klal Yisrael began by first giving honor to the princes? They went first. It says this pasuk. It says in Shemos. That when by Matan Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu, he asked Klal Yisrael, do you want to accept the Torah? They returned to him. Who returned to Moshe? Aaron and all of the princes. And Moshe spoke to them. So there, you see there, there's a Seder. There by Matan Torah, you see the order is first Aaron, then the Nisim, and then the rest of Klal Yisrael. And the reason for this order is to give honor to the Nesim. Why then did the Torah have to repeat this principle here in Parshas Nedarim? Lime, to teach you, Shehafaras Nedarim B'yochid Mumche. The reason why it's critical to teach the lesson again here in Parshas Nedarim is to teach you that the Nesim here, they have a special role in this mitzvah. In other words, the reason why Moshe is singling them out here more so than everywhere else, even though it's a general rule that Moshe gave kavod to them, was to teach that they have an ability, a nasi, can be annulled by a yochid mumche, by an individual who is an expert. And what Rashi appears to say is that the Nesim would not be elevated to their position of leadership unless they were experts in halacha. And one of the that includes every halacha, including the laws of Nidorim. So Moshe is singling out the Nesim here in the beginning of Parshas Matos to indicate that the Nesim, they can annul a vow single-handedly. Ve'im ein yochid mumche. Let's say we do not have we do not have an individual who is an expert. The next best thing is three ordinary people. Mefer b'shloisha hedyotas. So maybe you'll say that everything that Rashi says comes to suggest maybe everything that I just told you is not true. Maybe really there is no special halacha that a yochid mumcha has the ability to be a null vow. And the reason why here in Parashas Matos Moshe Rabbeinu singled out the princes was because it's only here, in this specific parasha, did Moshe decide to give special honor to the princes, but everywhere else, Moshe did not give them honor. Maybe he only said this parasha to the princes. Nemar kan zeh hadavar, v'nemar b'shechut echutz zeh hadavar. It says by the parasha of shechut echutz in Vayikra, that you're not allowed to offer a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Malahala nemro la Aaron ulabanu v'lechol Yisrael. Shenemar da'aber el Aaron v'chulu. Avzo nemro l'kulon. So too, this was said to all of them. Now, with Rashi, let's analyze Rashi. What Rashi seems to be saying is, when he says, O yochol sheloi omar Moshe parsha zoi ela lanesim belvod, it appears that maybe Rashi means to say is that, because see, Rashi cannot ignore the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu gave kavod to the Nesim before he gave kavod to everyone else in Klal Yisrael, because it says that in Parashat Shemos, in Chumash Shemos, but Matan Torah, it's clear as day that Moshe first spoke to Aaron, then he spoke to the Nisim, and then he spoke to the rest of Klal Yisrael. So you cannot ignore that. You cannot ignore the fact that in Chumash Shemos, we learn a general principle that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he taught Torah, he gave cover to the Nisim before he gave cover to Klal Yisrael. So the question then now is, why then in Parashas Matos did Moshe Rabbeinu emphasize this principle once again? So Rashi is suggesting two possibilities. One possibility, let's do the second one first, is that Moshe, that when it comes to laws of Nedarim, the laws of Nedarim only apply to a Nasi. In other words, a regular person, a regular citizen, Klal Yisrael, if he makes a vow, big deal, who cares? You don't want to keep your word, don't keep your word. People break their word every moment. Just because you preface your statement with a vow, big deal. People are entitled to break their words. A Nasi is special. A Nasi is not allowed to break his word. And we have a very long, complex parasha teaching us what happens when a Nasi, a prince, says something with a vow. He cannot annul his word, but an ordinary person can. That's one possibility. Or another possibility is why this parasha was repeated to the said to the Nisim first is because we want to teach a special halacha that a Nasi plays a unique role in the mitzvah of Hataras Nedarim. What is that unique role? The unique role is he alone, if he is an expert in the laws, can annul the vow. Unlike other mitzvahs, where we never find the distinction between a Nasi and an ordinary person. The same exact rules that apply to an ordinary person apply to the Nasiim. So which one is it? Is it that Nasiim have a special role in this mitzvah, but the law in truth applies to everyone in Klal Yisrael? Or maybe no, maybe the entire halacha only applies to the Nasi and does not apply to the ordinary person. The ordinary individual is not expected to keep his word. Rashi comes along and he tells us, it says in the Pasuk the word Zeh Hadavar, we have Gzera Shava, and the Gzera Shava links this mitzvah to the laws of Shchut Echutz, of slaughtering animals outside the Beis HaMikdash, and just like there it's explicit. There's a Nasi and there's an ordinary person. So to hear, there's a Nasi and an ordinary person. What is very remarkable, which is not a discussion for now, this is not a Shirin Drush, is why was it by every time, just because every time you have a Gzera Shava is not just a technical connection to teach you a dry law. Every time the Gemara introduces a Gzera Shava to another principle in the Torah to teach you a concept, there's always something philosophical. There's always something moral. There is a machshava, there is a drush. I'll give you a classic example. How do you know that a man, when he gets married, the technique of marriage is by giving a woman a ring, a tabas, kesef kedushin? How do you know? So it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah the method of getting married. We take it for granted. We go to a wedding, and there's a chuppah, and under the chuppah, the chasan says to the kala, Hare at mikudesh asli, bitaba'as zo, kidas Moshe v'Yisrael. And he gives her the ring, and that's it. It's done. There's no way out. The only way out is through a bitter divorce. That's the only way out. That's it. How do you know? Who told you that? Where does that come from? It does not say that anywhere in the Torah. The answer is the Gzera Shava. It says the word ki yikach ish isha, and it uses the same form of the word when Avraham purchased a grave for his wife. And when Avraham purchased a grave for his wife, he paid cash. He paid arba meo shekel kesef. I once read an article, made a calculation, it came out then to $3 million. $3 million to buy a grave. And by now it's probably double that. Probably by now it's $6 million or whatever. I don't really know exactly. Whatever. Let's say it's at least $3 million. Arba meo shekel kesef. So we learn from that Gezeirah Shava is not just a dry Gezeirah Shava. We learn we learn from that the fact that we go to death to learn about marriage, is a very powerful mussar. That marriage, you're with your wife in death. It's there is an eternal bond. It's not a light. It's not a lightweight thing. Just a simple, eeny meeny miny mo. Go. You can pick any word in the Torah to make a connection. Here as well. So you have to do that with every single gezeira shavah and understand the.
Where is the gezeira shavah here? Is my first question. My second question is, this term roshem hamatos. Have we used this term before?
Yes. Rashi quotes in Chumash Shmos by Matan Torah. It says there by Matan Torah. Rashi quotes the pasuk. V'achrichen nikshuv. It says Vayidaber Vayushuvu Elov Aharon V'chol Hanisim. Okay, you're asking a question. The word Nisim is not the same as Rashi Hamatas. That's a good point. That's a good point. Is there are different terms? There are different terms to describe the leader of the generation, the leaders. Sometimes we use the word Nasi. Nisi'im, sometimes we use the term the Roshei HaMatois, correct, but for the sake of simplicity, it's all the same idea. So a Nasi is considered to be the same thing for our purposes as the leaders of the tribes.
As Rabbi Aladdin would say, I'm not satisfied.
You don't like that answer?
Nothing personal. I'm not satisfied with this idea that Nisi'im and Rosh Mata are the same.
I hear what you're saying. I don't know more. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. Rashi doesn't seem to be bothered at all. Yes, a good question on Rashi. Okay. Requires. Okay.
I don't even see a similarity of the
psukim. There is a similarity. It's self understood that the word Roshei Hamatois is equivalent to the word Nasi. You're asking a good question. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. We have to leave it with that. I don't know. I don't know the answer. What was your second question?
I'm not looking for answers. I wanted just to point this out. Maybe I was wrong. I'm not.
No, you're not wrong. You're making a good point. You're saying that the word Nasi is not the same term as Rosh HaMatos. In Chumash Shemois, in Parashas Yisro, it doesn't say the word Rosh HaMatos. It says the word Nisi'im. So you're saying who says that Nisi'im is the same thing as the Roshei HaMatos?
The Sukkim are even so much different.
What?
I find that the Shemos Sukkim are different than the Sukkim here. Over there, it's with Aaron, it's at Har Sinai. Here, Aaron is not mentioned. Okay,
the point is that everyone is the same. That's the point. Not everyone is the same. We're brought up in America, Baruch Hashem, equality. Everyone is the same. There's no difference in man, a woman, race, color, gender, you name it. Everything is the same. Anyone can be whoever you want to be. This is an incredible bracha, beyond a shadow of a doubt. And it's brought prosperity to the world, beyond a shadow of a doubt. But we have to appreciate that in Yadus, in Judaism, that's not the case. In Judaism, people are different. And there is mobility, and there's not mobility. There are certain places where you can't go. There are certain limitations that people have. Men have limitations. They cannot be women. Women cannot be men. There's no crossing over of the genders. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. You'll tell me with technology, a man can become a woman. So what status? If a man has an operation to become a woman, so is he now part of a mitzvah? Is he part of a mitzvah? We're not going there, okay? These are very complicated questions. Very complicated. Really, what's the halacha? If a man has a full operation, whatever they can possibly do to go from one way to another, does that mean the man is now potter from mitzvah saseh shasman grama, and a woman is chai mitzvah shasman grama? Okay, you're asking. Okay, I don't know. Okay, let's go further. Let's now go further. Zehadavar. Okay, so if we have a very beautiful Rashi. Rashi over here has laid out a number of yisaidis. Number one, he's taught us something called kavod, give honor. When it comes to the parish of Nedarim, we learn about the principle that Moshe Rabbeinu went out of his way to give honor to the Rosh Hamatos. Why? Rashi's conclusion is to teach you an incredible principle that you don't have anywhere else in the entire Torah. That the leaders, that there are times when individuals have more power than the ordinary person. A Rosh Hamatos, a Nasi, an elevated person who is an, which we assume means he's also an expert in the halakha, can do things that an ordinary person cannot do. An ordinary person that does not know the halachas inside out cannot be made for somebody's vow. He needs three people to come together to have the power to undo a vow. Whereas a nasi by himself can accomplish the same thing. That's awesome. Show me a precedent for that somewhere in the whole Torah. That a Yisrael who has established himself to be an expert, he has power to declare null and void a statement of a person that was said with the choymer hadover of a neder. Whereas a person that is not a mumcha, not an expert, can't do it, but if he has another two people together, they can do it together. That's awesome. And that is why Moshe Rabbeinu had to single out the Rashi HaMatos here specifically. Okay, that's the end of the Rashi. And in the process, Rashi tells us that don't make a mistake and think that this pasuk is just coming to teach us that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving honor. We know that already. We know that. We learned that in Chumash Shemos, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he teaches Torah to Klal Yisrael, he first teaches Chidushim to the leaders, and then he teaches it to the masses. And don't tell me that there is a halacha in the Torah that only applies to a nasi that does not apply to an ordinary person. Because for that we have a special gezeirah shava, and what the implications are of hashkafa, of why this is the source, is very interesting. But we learn it out from the laws of slaughtering korbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. There, for whatever reason, the Torah went out of its way to say that no one should dare slaughter a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash, regardless of your status in society. Whether you're an ordinary person, whether you're a kohen, whether you're a nasi, forget it, don't even think about it. And it says there the word zeh hadavar. And it says here the word zeh hadavar. And that teaches us that here as well, that makes no difference who you are, you're not allowed to slaughter, you're not allowed to, every single person is subject to the laws of vows. Next Rashi, zeh hadavar. Now we're going over here to an adrush. Moshe, when he gave up a prophecy, he said the words, okay, there are different opening words that prophets select to bring in their prophecy. And the other prophets as well said, all of them said, however, Moshe Rabbeinu was unique. This is a very important rule of one of the animamins. We say if you say we did the animamins, the end of davening, animamins shenivuas Moshe Rabbeinu hoisamitis v'shehu hoya av lanavim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the father of all of the prophets. And then we have a second animamin that all of the words of prophecy are emes. Why did the Rambam have to separate Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy from all the other prophets? Musaf alei Moshe shenisnabe b'loshan zeh hadavar. Okay, so here we're learning a new principle that Moshe Rabbeinu is head and shoulders above everyone else. He said the word zeh hadavar, whereas everyone else only said koy omar Hashem. What's the depth of that? Not for now, not now. Davar acher, zeh hadavar, third another drasha, the word zeh is miut. Miut hu loymar shehechacham b'loshan hatara ubal va'a b'loshan hafara. Zeh means specificity. Zeh connotes everything must be bidiyuk. We're going to go here in the parish, there are two different people who can annul a vow. A father and a chacham. The language that the father uses to annul a vow is not the same language as a chacham. Zeh hadavar miyutu loymar shehechacham b'loshan hatara. When the Chacham releases a man from his vow, the language he uses is mutar loch, mutar loch, mutar loch. Ve'a b'loshen hafara, hufar loch, hufar loch, hufar loch. Kaloshoy nakosav kan, as we're going to see in the Pesukim. Vim chilfu, ein mutar ve'ein mufar. If the father makes a mistake and says to his daughter, mutar loch, mutar loch, mutar loch, she's not permitted. She may just maintain her vow. If the Chacham says mufar loch, mufar loch, mufar loch, it does not work. You have to use the right language. Now, by the way, what is the language of a, what does it mean mutar? Mutar generally means mikan ulehaba. From here on forward, you are permitted. But until you have come to me, all of this time in the past, everything that was correct, you were in a state of prohibition. When one uses the language mufar, that has a connotation of annulment. Annulment, we go back retroactively. There never ever was a vow to begin with. So if you were in violation until now, you were not in violation because I have annulled, I have uprooted your prohibition retroactively from the moment when you made the vow. When you use the word mutar, it means until now it was forbidden. If you have done what is forbidden, you are guilty. But now, here on in, going forward, you are permitted. Okay, now, let's see over here what is in the Targum. Targum is very straightforward. Okay, we're not going to spend any time on this part. The next part will be very interesting. U'malil Moshe Imreshe Shiftaya. Moshe spoke with the leaders of the Shevet, Levnei Yisrael, Lememar, Dein Piskama. Okay, the word Piskama is a very nice expression, a Piskam. You have this in the Megillah. You have this in the Megillah, the Piskam HaMelech. The Piskam. Piskam means the statement. Ze hadavar, dein piskama, difakid Hashem, which Hashem is commanding. Hashem is giving a command, and this is the piskam. Piskam is more like a proclamation. So over here, I like to suggest and play with you, is that Rashi could not sleep at night because of Onkelos. Onkelos drove him mad. Rashi, get a flavor of what. I told you, there's a sefer called What's Bothering Rashi. Okay, the sefer What's Bothering Rashi does not focus on Onkelos to the best of my knowledge. He has other ideas, but that expression is a great expression. And when you learn Rashi opposite Onkelos, you right away, it comes to mind, what drove Rashi to say, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, and when he gave a prophecy, he spoke b'zeh hadavar. Whereas all the other prophets, they only said, ko yamar Hashem. So here, you get a flavor of where Rashi is coming from. Targum, because Targum seems to have beaten Rashi to the point. Dein piskam, a piskam, has a connotation of a proclamation of what you're going to do in the future. A king puts out a proclamation. There's a proclamation. You read the proclamation of the king. There's a new law. There are new rules in society. People are allowed to do this. You can do this. Phase 2, phase 3. You can wear a mask, can't wear a mask, go to the store, can't go to the store, v'chulu, v'chulu. There's a piskam. A piskam is a proclamation of what's going to be in the future. When you use the expression koy omar Hashem, it's not the future. I have a message for you. I have a message. What's the message? You're a good boy. You're a bad boy. Behave yourself. You should do this. You should. The word Koyamar Hashem is just like a friendly message. It's a communication. It's a communication with a partner who has to deliver to you some. A piskam has a whole different flavor. It's a proclamation for society. Everyone should wake up, come to the town square, and listen to the reader read the proclamation of the king. Because this is going to be the new law in society, these are going to be the new status, v'chulu v'chulu. So what does this have to do with dry laws of Nedarim? I mean, the laws of Nedarim are very dry. They really are. There's no lachluchas. There's not much moisture here in these laws. They're very straightforward. They're very technical. All of a sudden, Rashi, he says, Ozeh hadavar, prophecy, Musar, telling you about Mashiach. All the Nevi'im who gave over Nevuah, they said, Koyamar Hashem, Koyamar Hashem, Koyamar Hashem. Moshe said, Zeh hadavar. What provoked Rashi to make that statement? The answer is the Targum. Because the Targum, he translated the word Zeh HaDovar with a very powerful word. Dein Piskama. This is the Piskam. This is the proclamation. This is not the type of translation you would expect when someone is teaching you technical jargon. you go buy a microwave and you read the you ever read the instruction books of any electronic device? I never ever read any of these books. I can never even get through the first sentence of these manuals that are this thick. You understand what it says in those manuals? I can't understand even one word. It's either you figure it out or you don't. Either you know it or you don't. You got to figure it out. So what's going on over here? This is like an electronic device. Like you know, you lease a new car and it just comes with a book. Did you ever read the book in the glove department to tell you how to use the console? Why did they even bother printing it? Whoever reads it, either someone has to explain to you how to use it. You don't know who reads these things. So what's Zeh HaDavar? All of a sudden the Targum says, Dein Piskama, a proclamation, State of the Union address from the king. What? We're dealing over here with an electronic device. This is not the expression that you use for Zeh HaDavar, for this parasha. Rashi picked up on this. And Rashi said to the Unkelus, you're right. Over here, Moshe Rabbeinu is not just teaching you technical data. Moshe Rabbeinu over here is expressing a principle. There's something more under the hood. And that's why Rashi felt it necessary to say, all the other prophets, when they gave over a message, Koyma Hashem. But Moshe, in addition to Koyma Hashem, he also said, Dein Piskama, Moshe's flavor of prophecy was above and beyond all of the other prophets. Okay, let's go further. That's the Piskama, deep Fakid Hashem. Okay, now we come to have some fun. This is a great pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Ish. Ki yidar neder l'Hashem. A person takes a vow. Yidar neder. Yidar is in the Lashon Os in the future. He takes a vow l'Hashem. Oy hishavah shavua. Or he takes upon himself an oath. Le'esor yisor al nafshoy. To bring upon himself, on his neshama, a prohibition. So the pasuk says three very powerful words. Lo yachel devaroy. Do not. How do you translate the word yachel? That's a really tough question. Mark, what does the article say? How does the article translate the word lo yachel devaroy? Don't be yachel. Don't annul your words. Kichol hayotze mipiv yaseh. Whatever comes out. What? Desecrate. Desecrate. Interesting. Okay, so they're learning like Rashi, not like the Targum. Lo yachel devaroy. Kichol hayotze mipiv yaseh. First of all, isn't it redundant? Once it says lo yachel devaro, don't I already know kichol hayotze mipiv yaseh? Don't I already know that? So let's first see the Rashi. Rashi neder. What is the definition of the word neder? How do you translate?
My version says profane.
Profane. Yachel is profane. Okay, let's see.
This is a Matuda publication.
Okay, so let's see, Rashi. What does Rashi over here say? Rashi here says neder. What is the translation of the word neder? Omer, someone says. He doesn't really want to translate it, Rashi. Rashi seems to be shy from translating the word neder. What does the word neder mean? Okay, neder.
What?
Yachel, okay, let's see. Nedho Oimer, someone says, Hare olai koinam, shalei oichal, o shalei esed davar ploni. Okay, first he explains the principle. First he makes a statement, I accept upon myself a koinam. What is a koinam? Koinam is another word for a vow. Rashi is translating the word neder as a koinam. What is a koinam? A koinam? I don't know. Okay, let's see a little further. It means a neder. It just means a vow. We loosely translate it as a vow. I'm saying all this for a reason. I'm going to explain to you why. Shle oichal or shle echte, I will not eat. We have over here some interference. I'm going to put everyone on mute. Okay, a person makes a statement. Rashi, koinam, shle oichal, I will not eat. Or shle eseh. I will not do Dovar Plunder. The word koinam, if I'm not mistaken, means a curse. A curse. What's the curse? The curse is, if I don't do what I say I'm going to do, I should be cursed. Koinam is related to a curse. That's a pretty scary thing. Yochal afilu nishpa sheyoychal neveilois ani korei olav kechol ha'yotzim peviase. So Rashi just first explains that a neder only applies to when you do something that you're allowed to do. Let us say a person takes a vow that he's going to eat non-kosher food. I should accept upon myself to be cursed if I don't eat non-kosher food. So we would think that he has an obligation to eat non-kosher food. No, that's why we need the repetition, the verbosity. Le'esor isor. The Torah selected the word isor. Le'esor es hamutu. The word esor has a connotation. You have the ability to create a new prohibition. Ve'lo la'hatir es ha'asur. Not to permit that which already is forbidden. Rashi understands. Let's say, number one, neder. Neder means a curse. That's what it seems to say. I don't know, not necessarily, but hare olai, it is upon me a curse if I do not eat or I do not do what I'm supposed to do. And the reason why it says lesor isor is to indicate that you're coming now to prohibit upon yourself for the first time something that until now was permitted. That implies that if until now this item was forbidden, and I'm coming now to make it permitted, to demand of myself, then your words are null and void, and there are no consequences if you are in violation of what came out of your mouth. Fine, next. That's a halacha, technical halacha. Lo yachel devaroi, kmo lo yichalel devaroi, lo yase devarov chulin. Ah, that's a mouthful. What's bothering Rashi? We'll see in a moment. Rashi learns yachel means lashon of choil. When words come out of your mouth, they're sacred. They're sacred. If you are in violation of what comes out of your mouth, you have made those words chulin, mundane. You have taken sacredness and you've profaned it by degradating it and taking it from sacred to profane. That's how Rashi translates the word yachel, miloshen chulin. Next. That's it. Okay, now let's see the Targum. Targum says, Gvar, Igmen, Are Yidar. So he tells us the word Yidar means Yidar, okay? Nidar Kodom Hashem. Now, that's an interesting idea that every time it is a Lamed, it's before Hashem. It's in the presence of Hashem. Now, right away, before we go further, that is a red flag. Because Rashi says, Hare Olai. Targum says, Kodom Hashem. There's a very big difference between Rashi and Targum. What is a neder? Rashi learns, the neder is upon me. Hashem is not in the picture. Hashem has created me. He has given me a degree of independence in this world. Okay? The Bar Ditshuva, my father Zichron Levrach always used to say, from the Bar Ditshuva, that the Eivish to Firzach the Welt, Ruba de Ruba. If I would say this, if someone in this generation would say this, they would immediately say he's not Bikoris, and they would throw him out, take his children, and throw him out of the yeshivas, and they would finish him off. How could you say the Eivish to Firzach the Welt, Ruba de Ruba? In Gansen, the Eibishter is everywhere. Hashem is here, Hashem is truly everywhere. What do you mean, Ruba de Ruba? Ruba de Ruba. That's about by Ditshuva. Ruba de Ruba. He lets man also have a chelek. It's a very delicate statement. It's a very delicate statement, and you have to appreciate what it means. But Ditshuva certainly understands.
Maybe it means he gave us bechira.
Yeah, right. But it's even more than that. He's saying it appears the flavor of those words. Hashem is giving you an opportunity to accomplish something big in this world. And if you don't want to do it, no one's going to do it. It's not like Hashem's going to do it. It's not like someone else is going to do it. It's going to be a different world when Mashiach will come. That's it. It didn't happen. It's not like, oh, if I'm not going to do it, someone else. Like Esther says, "Im hacharish tacharish shibo is hazois revach v'atzola yamod la'yehudim imokay macher." Okay, There are certain things that it's your opportunity. You want to get credit. If you'll do it, you'll do it. If you won't do it, someone else will do it. But there are certain things in this world that if you don't do it, guess what? No one's going to do. No one will ever come along and do it because no one can. It's something that's only your potential. And if you don't want to do it, no, it's not going to happen. Man has a certain degree of independence. That's a very deep philosophical principle. And it's not so simple. It's not so that everyone even agrees to that principle. And it appears that this philosophy here, you know, you see this in different Rishonim, in Psukim, is the machlokes in Rashi and the Unkelus. Person takes a vow. What's the purpose of the vow? To be honest to yourself or to be true to your Creator? Now, they're both intertwined. You can't really separate one from the other, but yet there's a big difference. When you live your life, are you living your life to be, so you have to have be a good person, just to be a good person? That is what Hashem wants of you. Hashem doesn't want you every single second, do you want me to do this? Want me to do this? You're always looking to the sky. You're looking to the sky. What does Hashem want from me? What do you want? That you'll go meshuggah in that mahalach. You have to be a good person. If you make a statement, a word is a word. Forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. A word is a word. Are you a human being or you're not a human being? Are you an animal or a human being? Hare olai koinam. I accept upon myself, I should be cursed if I do not keep my word. Targum says, ki yid neder la Hashem. Kodom Hashem. It's not about me. It's a, my ability to speak is a gift from God. Vayipach be'apov nishmas chayim. Hashem gave me, so it's on loan. It's on loan. You gave me the gift of speech. I have to not abuse the gift. It's only a lease. I go and I lease a car and I return the car and the car doesn't work, I'm in a lot of trouble. Okay, if the car is damaged, the car has more than 30,000 miles, boy, they're going to get you. They're going to squeeze you out. It's not mine. The koyach hadibur does not belong to me. So if you gave me the gift of speech, kodom Hashem, you take a vow. The vow has to be according to Hashem's rules. Rashi says, hare olai. What's bothering Rashi? He doesn't like that word, kodom. Who asked you, Targum, to say kodom, the word kodom? Kiyidor neder la Hashem. I'm a person. I'm speaking to myself. I'm taking a vow. And I create a vow in myself using the gift that Hashem gave me, but it's all me. I'm separating myself. It's a delicate difference. Okay, let's go further. Okay, let's go further in the Targum. Gem Hashem, o yikayim kiyom lemesar, or person takes an oath. Now, I didn't explain. This is sugi, this is the random. What is the difference? This is a side point. What is the difference between a neder and a shavua? This is the ran in Masechet Nedarim. A neder is an issa cheftza, and a shavua is an iser gavra. The lumdis of Gavra and Chefza, sorry, did not come from Reb Chaim. The lumdis of Gavra and Chefza goes back to the Rishonim, goes back, how many years? 600, 700, 800 years before Reb Chaim was born. Okay, Reb Chaim just somehow gave it terms, Gavra and Chefza, but the Rishonim, the Ran is clear as day, a neder is there's an a prohibition on the object. A shavua is not on the object, it's upon myself, upon the person. Okay, a difference in Isser Gavra and an Isser Chefza. The Ramban, the Ran. Okay, let's go further in the Targum. Yikayem Kiyom Lemesa Israel Nafshe, or he's Yikayem, he takes an oath, a Kiyom. Okay, two words which do the same thing. Lemesar isar al nafshe. Now here come another explosive words. Lo yivatel piskame. The Unkelis doesn't say the word anything religious here. Lo yivatel. Do not cancel. According to Rashi, when a person makes a statement, those words are sacred. They are infused with holiness. According to the Targum, what holiness? Holiness? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Holiness? You said words. You got to keep your word. You got to keep your word. You keep your word. Whoever added holiness into the picture. And therefore, if you are in violation, it's not as that you took holiness and you have desanctified it. What holiness? Do not cancel. Lo yivatel. Fundamental difference. Piskamei. Kechol hai. Dechol dipoik. And that's dipoik. Now, the word dipoik over here is also a very funny word. It's not a typical word. Dipoik. Mipumei. Yabet. Okay, now the main word, before we're out of time, we're almost out of time with 2 minutes. 7:58. Okay, I want to read to you from this wonderful sefer called the Ma'at Sodi Al HaTargum. And he says the word Yidar Neder. See, the Targum over here, Targum did not really translate the word Neder. He just says Givar Are Yidar. Yidar. Rashi also Rash Hare Olai Koinam, which simply means I accept upon myself a curse if I am a violation of my words. Targum just says the word Yidar. Now, we're gonna quote now from the Targum in Bereshis, which is an amazing. Sometimes the Targum on the page doesn't help you, but you go to a Targum somewhere else, it's an eye-opener, and this is awesome, awesome stuff here. I'm reading over here what it says in the Sefer. Kasa b'medrash seichel tov. Medrash seichel tov is a medrash on Tehillim. Iker hamila neder loshem gilgul. Do you know what neder means? Neder means to roll. Like to roll a ball. To go bowling, to roll. What do you mean to roll? How do you know this? Kidachsev. Well, look at the Targum. We're learning Targum. It says, Vayigal Eso Eben, Yaakov Avinu comes to the well and he sees there's a stone and Rachel is waiting for the stone. So Vayigal, he rolls the stone off the well. How does the Targum translate the word Vayigal? To roll? Umitargeminon vinodar yos avna. Isn't that amazing? Vinodar. Yaakov Avinu was nodar yos the avna, the stone. So what do you see from here? That the word neder means to roll. Another proof, vigolalu. He asked her, what's going on here? How come everyone's loitering here? There's going to be a riot if you don't go to work. Why are all these people loitering around here? So she explained, they're waiting for the police to come so there can be a riot. Vigalalu, they're waiting for them to come. They shall roll. Vigalalu, they will roll. And Blush and Rabin, how does Targum say? Vinadru. Zeh shemegalgil alav. Now, what does it mean? Zeh shemegalgil alav iser al dover hamutar loy. Unbelievable. So what does it mean then? A neder. A neder means you roll a prohibition upon something that is permitted. Very bizarre. It's a very bizarre concept. A person takes a vow. What are you doing? What are you doing to take a vow? I have here in front of me a food that's permitted. There's no prohibition. I go to a source of Isser. It's like a big pile. A big pile of something called Isser. Prohibition. And I roll it. And I roll it closer and closer to me until it comes to the food that I have in front of me. And I roll it on top of the food. Oh! Now the food is Isser. I transferred a prohibition that pre-exists somewhere else and it comes to rest upon upon this food. Now, this targum appears to be a fundamental difference between Rashi. From Rashi, you get the impression that when you make a neder, you are creating something new. There never existed in this world prohibition. And now you've created something new. Wow. And this new creation is on the food. Unkula says no. You cannot come in this world and create new prohibitions. The only thing that you can do in this world is to take pre-existing prohibitions and expand their scope to things that are ordinarily permitted. Now we can appreciate the difference between Rashi, who says lo yachel divaroi, and the Targum that says lo yivatel. Because according to Rashi, you're coming to create something new, a new prohibition. If you're going to violate your word, what have you done? You've destroyed sanctity. You created sanctity. Now, when you're in violation, you've destroyed it. That's called a deconsecration. That's that you've profaned something holy. But according to Unkelis, you're not coming to create anything new. You're just coming to expand the scope of a pre-existing prohibition. It's also to eat nevelos utrefos. Hashem created that prohibition. You've taken the prohibition of eating, which applies in a given set of situations, and you've expanded it to this permissible food. If you are in violation, you didn't do any harm. You didn't blow up the world. Because anyway, so the prohibition just rolls back to where it came from. It rolls back to Chazer. So what then have you done? Don't be mevatel. Don't cancel. If you have expanded it, it has to be here. But if you do cancel it, you can't say that you have done something that is in the category of made something profane, because you didn't create anything. It's not the correct principle. So we have here a Yishuv to explain the Mahalach in Rashi and Unkelis based upon Unkelis elsewhere, who tells us a more precise meaning of what it means lo yachel devaroi. It means to roll. It's to expand a pre-existing Isra in this world. Okay, we're going to stop here. Tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we'll pick up with Pasik Dalid. Have a wonderful evening, Rabbi Yisai.
Good night. Going to Mincha now.
Pray for all of us.
Mark, we all need to pray. Mirtz Hashem.